listening to Paddy Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
Hello and welcome back to Paddy Pigskin. We are host Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings. And just want to announce that we are happily on board with DraftKings again for 2018. Looking forward to it. Going to be announcing some more details about that over the next few weeks. So stay tuned if you're into fantasy football and even better, daily fantasy football. Going to be getting loads of banter on that in the next few weeks, so stay tuned. Just myself and Barry tonight from a hot and humid Boston, Massachusetts. We were actually supposed to record this on Tuesday, but it started pissing rain, flash floods all over the place here in Boston, so we had to give it a miss. So it's just us two tonight. Before we get into it, make sure you're following us on social media, at Paddy Pigskin on Insta, Facebook and Twitter. Going to be announcing some guests and competitions over the next few weeks as we get ready for the 2018 season. So check us out there. We'll have loads of news, random shit videos that I put up of NFL players beating up people at airports, all that sort of good crack. You can find it all there on our social media pages. And please give us a review on whatever app you're listening to us on. We're on loads of places now. We just got picked up by SoundCloud. So we're there. We're Spotify. We're on iTunes. And then loads of streaming websites like TuneIn, all those sort of places. So if you're feeling generous and you like what we do, give us a review. Love to hear feedback from everybody about how we're doing on the show. So that's all the formalities out of the way. Barry's just gotten in here now, so he's going to sit down with me. And we're going to get cracking on this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin, which is episode 35 of Paddy Pigskin. This week's episode is dedicated to cornerback Aeneas Williams. He was born in New Orleans, Louisiana in 1968, played his high school ball at the local 40A High School, which is now defunct. He attended Southern University, the same school as his brother Achilles. I'm starting to sense a bit of a Greek theme here in this family. Mainly focused on his academics until his junior year, then he found football. His numbers in 2 years of college ball were enough for the then Phoenix Cardinals to draft him with the 59th pick in the third round of the 1991 NFL draft. Had an impressive rookie season. He was tied for ints in the NFC. And by 1997, he had already gotten 4 Pro Bowl nods and would routinely cover opposing teams' best receivers. He went to 8 Pro Bowls in total. 5 of these were in a row, actually, with the Cardinals. And then 2 more with the St. Louis Rams after he moved there in 2001 for 4 seasons. He went to Super Bowl 36 with the Rams, but of course lost to the Patriots, Spygate, 2017. He finished with 795 tackles, 55 ints, and 9 touchdowns. He is in the 1990s All-Decade team. He was inducted into the 2014 Hall of Fame, and I was actually there in Canton, Ohio that year. So episode 35, cornerback Aeneas Williams. This episode is for you. Without further ado, let's get cracking on this week's show. You ready, Barry?
Should arrest you or whoever dress you, ain't gon' stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl, you be killin' them, you be killin' them, girl, you be killin' them, you be killin' them, girl, you be killin' them, you be killin' them, girl, you be killin' them. You ain't gotta worry about a shorty straight, but chasing her.
Got Barry in here beside me. Barry, how are you?
I've been good, man. You know, honestly, it's been a surprisingly not cold, but like, you know, kind of perfect weather summer here in Boston, so Tank top season is among us.
Barry's here in his throwback Tampa Bay Buccaneers tank. So sun's out, guns out weather here in Boston.
It's about the only tank top I wear at this point. Let's be real.
You're doing well, yeah? You enjoying her?
Yeah, it's been good.
Enjoying her summer, yeah?
So it's crazy. The July has been flying by.
Training camps just around the corner.
Starting up and preseason's going to be starting up. We get to see all the fun new stories.
Only this is the last month without football. until February.
Yeah, what pre-season. A horrible month, right?
No,
we talk about this every year. We're like, we're in this weird lull where like the second August starts, we get hyped about preseason. September starts, we get into the season that carries us all the way through February. Then if you're just a general sports fan, you have things that carry you on. You have March Madness with the NCAA. You have the hockey and NBA playoffs. But then you hit the middle of June. And this time we were very lucky we had the World Cup, which was a ton of fun. Where did you go to watch the final?
I watched the final in, we're down in Cape Cod.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're down there. So we had a World Cup sweepstakes. So I had Belgium. So they obviously lost in the semifinals.
Well, I mean, it was pretty close though, yeah.
Yeah. No, we had good fun. Like over here, World Cup sweepstakes aren't as common. Like most people back home in Ireland would do that in their workplace.
I mean,
so I was like, let's introduce it and see how it goes.
That's like an equivalent of us doing like March Madness.
Just because it's soccer, it's like nobody really did it, you know?
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I just feel like that's just the difference. We're like, I don't know how many March Madness brackets everyone in Ireland is saying, like, let's do all this.
Very little.
That's what I'm saying. I imagine that is kind of a similar one.
If you said March Madness, they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
March Madness
is
about Patrick's
Day. Why is
everyone so
mad in March? March is a beautiful season, yeah.
Wait, isn't it as mad as a March hare? Isn't that the expression?
As mad as a marcher?
No, as a March hare. As in a hare, not a rabbit, but a hare.
Oh.
I think that's where it comes from.
I mean, maybe.
I'm learning
something new from the podcast already. We've really been jumping quick.
Someone that listens to this will be like, Gary, stop talking over your hole. Yeah.
But basic idea is like, it's great that we're finally ending this lull period that typically is there, where we're finally getting back to where the sports year in our vision kind of restarts again.
Having said that, we are lucky that we live in Boston and the Red Sox are doing really well.
Oh, it's been a
And
ton
me
of
just
fun.
Working right opposite kind of helps. You always have that buzz that the Red Sox are right outside. Yeah. So if we're living in somewhere like fucking Baltimore or something, where like 40 games behind you, you're like, what have you got
you're
to
like,
look
yeah,
forward
well,
to?
Yeah, the season's over already. My sister and I actually went to that Red Sox Mariners 14-10 game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've never seen more offense, and I will never see a better game of offense in my life.
Yeah.
24 runs, 38 hits.
Jesus.
Like, the pitchers just took a vacation.
Mariners are good this year.
They're very good.
They're very good.
Just, like, both sides were just thumping each other the entire time. It was a great game.
I loved they had the caps they're wearing at the All-Star game. The Mariners ones were
very,
savage.
Very nice.
Yeah. We haven't got Jared this week, so we only need two beers instead of three. This, I actually fucked up. I didn't get any beers, but luckily I had two cans in the fridge that I'm pretty sure neither of us have had.
I've never
seen
that one before.
Do you know where I actually think these came from? These were the two leftover cans from the Combine video we did.
So right.
I'm pretty sure this is them.
Now. Yes, we just had never grabbed them.
I'm going to give you one.
Thank you.
Hopefully they haven't been skunked by just sitting out in the sun or whatever. They are called, we'll crack them open here, hang on. There we go. Jack's Abbey, which is actually a local brewery here in Framingham. And it's very very Game of Thrones-esque, called Smoke and Dagger, and it has a picture of a sword on it. And it is IBU. Do you remember what IBU means again?
I have no idea.
Or is that international beer units or something like that?
I'm not sure. All I see is 5.6% next.
5.6. So not as strong as what we would normally have, but you know, sometimes it's nice to kind of scale back a little bit.
We stepped off the hallowed ground of IPAs, so we had to do something else.
Is this a stout or no? Black lager.
Yeah,
it's black lager. Okay, so it's
the description
like
roasted and smoky. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We drink and we know things, just like they do, just like Peter Dinklage does. So we'll enjoy this for the next half hour or so, see how it goes. We're basically just going to talk about a lot of news. There's just a lot of craziness going on in the last few weeks. Yeah. Some of it good, some of it bad.
It's the bad part about June to July in the NFL is that anytime you're hearing news, it's either new contracts or something bad happened. Like that
exactly.
is specifically the breakdown.
We'll start off with some of the bad stuff first. So last week there were some really bad allegations against Bills running back Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy. It all started with an Instagram post. I actually thought it was his ex-girlfriend. It was a friend of his ex-girlfriend.
Who's like posting it on behalf of the
ex-girlfriend. On her behalf. And she was beaten to a pulp.
The side-by-side photo, for anyone
Very
who hasn't
bad.
Seen this, is like terrifying
yeah.
to see.
It was really bad. Really bad facial injuries. The story was that there was a home invasion. She was attacked. It looked like she got beaten over the head with a gun. They stole jewelry. All that sort of stuff. Initially, it sounded like he did it. But in fairness, it sounded like she had just gotten back from London. If her Instagram posts were anything to go by, she had been in London, arrived home.
Mm-hmm.
It is a house that he owns in Atlanta.
Yeah.
and whoever it was got into the house. It sounded like there was no forced entry, so she may have known this person. And she was attacked, she was beaten around, and some very specific jewelry, which is interesting because the more I read into this, the more I got the impression that this isn't the first time something along these lines have happened, because he actually tried to evict her from this house before.
Oh, God.
She was away, and he had ordered friends and family to basically get a load of furniture out and jewelry. So
I knew none of this. I saw the post, the allegations, and I didn't know this part. That makes it this even worse.
Yeah,
I mean,
they had an ongoing...
Yeah, relatively scale. Like, the post itself makes it seem horrible.
Yeah, they so, actually like, had an up...
It's worse is...
They had an upcoming court case as well about something like, you know, she had to get out of the house or something. So,
yeah.
Like, I think what he was saying was that he hasn't contacted her in months. He had nothing to do with it. And then on her side, it's like, well, you know, when you take the history of what's happened before and you put it into the equation, it's like, well, you know, they've tried to get her out of that house. They know that there's certain bits of jewelry that, like, he wants back, and all of a sudden she gets the shit beaten out of her and this jewelry is taken.
It's circumstantial enough where you're starting to really worry about it. The thing that scares me, though, is, like, so that post alleged four different things.
Oh, yeah, and those are the other things. Yeah, go ahead.
It was, you beat your pets within an inch of death.
Yeah.
You beat your kids consistently. You beat her.
Yeah.
And you took... In all caps, illegal steroids. I don't know what legal steroids are for the post sake, but
I think it was illegal drugs, I think was. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She said, like, when you injected the illegal drugs into you, which injecting kind of makes it seem an idea with that.
Sure, yeah.
And I had a conversation with my wife about this, which is like, do I believe from that post? And again, I didn't know all the background of this, so like, take this with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. Do I believe that all four things she's saying are true? Maybe, maybe not. Do I believe that at least one of them is true? Pretty hard to say no. That seems like a lot of things to throw out for all of them to be unsubstantiated.
Fair enough, yeah.
And I don't know what the NFL's discipline policy with beating pets has been, but we've seen the other three pretty harshly chastised.
Well, in fairness, I would imagine it's a very strong stance since the whole Mike Vick thing.
I agree.
I'm sure they've put animal abuse into a similar category.
It's just, I think we haven't seen something really since then to that kind of a level.
Because you've got like, Mike Vick has gone before him. Adrian Peterson has gone before him. Fucking Ray Rice has gone before him.
That's what I'm saying. So you're seeing a strike against all these and all these different directions of guys getting just basically blacked from the league. Mike Vicks was basically a black belt until you came back from prison.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, like, with all these things swirling around, when the post came out, someone told Shady McCoy at practice, he immediately left practice.
Mm.
And if you think this is a non sequitur, like it's not a big deal at all, you would just say, you know, like, who cares?
Yeah.
He immediately left, meaning, again, probably something there is true, which begs the question. Shady's getting up there in age. He has a big contract, which I'm sure if you're the Bills, you'd be happy to not have to be paying.
Top four paid running back, I believe. Yeah.
Could we see the close to the end of Shady McCoy right now? Is a genuine question. And like again, the session will happen the next few weeks. I don't think the league is going to let him start the season without understanding what happened.
We're drinking smoke and dagger right now. I always say, you know, where there's smoke, there's a fire. And it just feels like there is a bit too much there for something not to be true, you know?
It brings a bad personification of the nickname Shady.
It really does. Hopefully, you know, it's hard to say hopefully it's not true because at the end of the day, a woman got the shit beaten over.
No, exactly.
So that did happen. We know that much. That happened. I just hope that, you know,
controlling for all else.
Exactly. We're in damage control here, you know? Yeah. It's how many strikes can this guy get before the Bills pull the plug on him?
I mean, again, and if they did, I would say, you know, none of us would raise an eye to it or say, man, that just seems too extreme. That's completely understandable given how the league has handled these things in the past.
Yeah. And especially we're both dog owners. So the fact that if he fucking bet one of his dogs around is just disgusting to me.
You and I are on the spectrum, and I know not everyone listening may feel this way, but to me, like kids, dogs, it's the same.
Yeah.
If they're part of your family and you care for their lives and you're the reason why they are able to go day to day because you're taking care of them, that's the same responsibility for that. And if you're going to try to beat the crap out of a dog because he's annoying you, then you're, in my opinion, just a complete crap human being.
Can't argue with that. One more, going from one crap human being to another. So you didn't notice when we mentioned earlier the Pac-Man Jones video that I put up there last week.
Yeah, so talk me through this, because so, you just told me this before we started and I had no idea what this was.
Pac-Man's going to do Pac-Man, you know? Like, yeah. he's had trouble in the past, the whole shooting in the strip club, and he's, you know, on the field issues and stuff.
Yeah.
He was in Hartsfield International Airport in Atlanta there last week, and this video surfaced. Now, we only kind of saw... We don't really know what was said or what was done before the video started rolling. But basically, there was an airport employee, you know, chirping a little bit to Pac-Man. And Pac-Man's walking along with a bag of Popeye chicken. He drops the bag of Popeye chicken. A few punches start getting thrown. And at first, the airport worker has the better of him. Pac-Man's kind of on the ropes a little bit, and then he comes back. Then they start throwing, and then Pac-Man starts getting the upper hand, and he drops the guy. They were breaking away from the clinch, and you just caught him, and the guy went down. Pac-Man, being the scumbag that he is, hit him one or two more while he was on the ground.
Keep him down.
And that was it. Now, in fairness, he is a free agent. The Bengals, he's not on the Bengals anymore, but seriously, like, you want to try and get one or two more years. No, this is not the shit you need to do.
That's the way you stay a free agent, for sure. I guess, so let me ask one question, just because this popped my head the second. This fight happens. Is there a mental decision for him to say, I should put down my Popeye's chicken?
Absolutely. Sure, it was a very, like, he dropped the chicken and then...
And then kept that safe, went to the fight. I wish there was the aftermath to show him after the fight, like, you win, you pick up the chicken, and you walk away. Because that would just be the perfect, like, Pac-Man Jones sequence possible.
I mean, I have enjoyed a five-piece out of Popeye's.
I think as we all have. Like, so, that's my Fenway tradition. The only Popeye's in all of Boston is right next to Fenway. So every time I go, I try to, like, drop by Popeye's at least for, like, a strip or two if I can.
I will shamelessly admit that I have been to the one in Everett, which is not too far away from where I am now. But oddly enough... Considering the Popeye's at Fenway is right outside my job, I don't really go there that much.
I think that's like...
I do respect his decision.
That's what we call an occupational hazard. If you're given to that will, you can go there every day.
Protect the chicken at all costs is what he did. So, that's just Pac-Man honestly, being
like,
a gobshite.
If you're talking about like a workout tape, that's still strong defense.
I mean, he was against the ropes and he came back swinging and he caught the guy.
Yeah. But just and the chicken was truly unscathed.
What the fuck are you doing? You're that airport worker. Like, seriously, man. What are you saying?
I mean, but here's the thing. It's both sides of this, though. Like, and again, I say this without having seen the video, but, like, end of the day, like, if you're Pac-Man Jones, sure, you can get annoyed if you're an airport worker. Sure, you might want to have this, like, ego complex to say, like, oh, who are you? You think you're some big shot NFL guy.
Yeah.
If you're Pac-Man Jones, why are you fighting? You get into enough fights on the field. You get into enough fights in strip clubs. You get into enough everything else. You don't need to fight some random guy in the airport when you don't have a contract.
That's like talking to the wall with a guy like that, you know? He's just not going to fucking listen to you.
I know. No, it's just like, it's unfortunate though, because it's just like, I understand aggression in the game.
Mm.
And, you know, like, we don't condone it outside of it. But, like, I don't understand the idea of consistently wanting to prove your place through these kind of displays. Because, frankly, we all understand that NFL guys are stronger than 99.9% of all other human beings.
In fairness, this guy had the reach on him, but Pac-Man got the job done. He got the W at the end of the day, so he used his veteran maneuvers on him.
No, I know.
I guess we'll move away from people punching each other and all that sort of stuff. We'll get into, stuff that goes on within the league and not outside it. Le'Veon Bell looks like this year is going to be his last year as a Steeler, sadly. They tried to reach a long-term deal there to keep him in Pittsburgh, but couldn't get it done. So he's going to get franchise. He was franchise tagged last year as well, right?
Yeah, so, and so by the rules of it, he cannot be franchise tagged a third time in a row. So he is officially a free agent after this season.
He would have made, if this was his first time being franchise tagged, he would have made $11 million. But because he was last year, he makes $14.5 million. So I actually did a bit of digging around.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to, there was not much information about what the contract was that he supposedly turned down. So well, I did find out.
Did they report that one out? It was like the 5-year 70?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Sorry. The 5-year 70 million, signing bonus of 10 million. So Adam Schefter reported he would have made about 33 million over the first 2 years.
Wow.
So he seemed to be wanting 15 or 16 million a year.
Which is exactly what that would be.
So I'm like.
That's 16 and a half per year.
I get it. Like he probably feels like he's being undervalued. Fair enough. I'll get into his stats in a minute about what he's done. He's been to 3 Pro Bowls, but like 10 million guaranteed, like, kind of seems like a bit of a slap in the face, given what he's done for the team, you know?
So I agree with this. It's just like, at the end of the day, though, like, you're a guy, running backs, and I know that Le'Veon wants to try to make make himself seem like, I want to get paid like a number one running back plus a number two wide receiver combined.
Yeah.
There will never be a guy in NFL history who will get paid for two positions combined. Like, that's just the fact of it. GMs are too stingy. Teams don't want to be doing that. There's value to be had other places.
Yeah, no, there is a slight, well, I guess, because offensive linemen, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Guards and tackles and centers are lumped into just offensive linemen. So the likes of Andrew Norwell and stuff like that, they're getting paid fucking bank because they're just considered offensive linemen. So when normally, you know, the tackles would make more money.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying. That's a completely different position.
I'm just saying, like, you aren't seeing Norwell being paid a guard salary plus a tackle salary.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, we're not going that. Like, there's, you go beyond the base to a certain degree before these guys who you think are truly special. Mm. And I don't think anyone's going to disagree that paying Le'Veon Bell anything in the $12 million plus range a year signals that he's a special, special guy. For reference, Saquon, who got drafted second, is making like 8.9 this year.
And he's the fourth
highest paid running back in the league.
That's right.
So, like, to the point is, like, running backs don't get paid that high that often.
Mm.
So if you're Le'Veon, like, I get the idea that you really, really want to be paid with a five-year deal that could be fully guaranteed and all these things that say, hey, look how awesome I am.
Yeah.
But one, it makes you worried about this year because he hinted last year that you're not going to get the full package without me being on a full deal. And you worry this year how many times he's going to try to, like, not get hit because he's worried about his knee or the other part, which he should be because he doesn't have a contract going forward.
Yeah.
And you naturally look at this where it seems like he's already playing for next summer, which if you're a Steelers fan, kind of sucks because he's just such a dynamic player to watch. And I know you're going to read out his stats. He's amazingly consistent year after year. But, you know, I just, even if he won, decides I'm going to go all out this year, I don't see what he could do this year to justify getting more than what he was just offered, given running backs and given how the league is.
Yeah. So I think his gripe was, because I'm pretty sure he came out with a comment when Kirk Cousins signed for
the fully guaranteed
3 years, 84 million. And he basically, like, he changed the game and he kind of reset the market and stuff. I think Bell was like, I can't remember, he tweeted something where he was like, thanks Kirk for like changing the game for all of us or something. So I think he was going to try and do something similar because he is like a complete back. He's a three down back, and I will break down his stats. And you said he's very consistent. That's actually exactly what I have written here. Consistent as fuck, because 2017, right? It's actually crazy. His stats are eerily similar. Last year, rushing yards, 1,291. That's incredible. Tecmo Bowl stuff. 9 touchdowns. Reception yards, 655 with 2 touchdowns. Then you look at 2016, 1,268 yards, 7 touchdowns, 616 reception yards for 2 touchdowns. 2015, he missed a load of games, which is a story for another day. And then you go back to 2014, again, 1,361 yards, 8 touchdowns, 854 reception yards and 3 touchdowns. Like, mad consistent over the years.
I know. And so because I can look at the numbers right now, as opposed to, like, everyone who's listening to this right now, like, just to stress, in the last 2 seasons, his running totals have been within 23 yards of each other, his touchdowns within 2, his receiving yards within 39 yards.
Yeah.
And his receiving touchdowns the exact same.
Yeah.
That is unbelievably, like, consistent as you go.
It's like that meme where it's like when kids are copying each other, it's like, copy my homework but make sure it looks slightly different. That's basically, you just change up 1 or 2 numbers here,
and it looks almost very identical. Similar. You had to squint over to make sure it was a different year.
And then even like 2014 were a little bit better, you know, he has a few more years on the clock. But I think when he's looking at those numbers and he's like, I deserve to get paid more because I catch all these passes out of backfield and 1,000 yards plus. I get what the Steelers are probably like, well, we probably only think you have 2 or 3 more years left in you. You might not be able to play for 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
They're reluctant to give him that long-term security, you know?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to say this as, like, a cynic, but, like, you know, what team isn't afraid to give him that long-term security? Like, running backs have the shortest tenure of any NFL career for a reason, which is, at some point, it just goes. And for a lot of guys, that happens very early. Injuries, other things like that.
Or
you just weren't at the talent level. But once you make it past that, let's call it 3-year barrier, you've been in the league, you've made a second contract.
Mm.
most of those guys don't get to a third contract looking as good as they have been.
Yeah.
Like, a crazy example is, like, Adrian Peterson, who, like, made it. It was still very good. And then he just fell off a cliff. Like,
yeah.
Running backs don't go into their 30s strong, no matter what happens with all this other stuff. And Le'Veon Bell is 26 right now. So it raises the real question of, like, do I want to be paying 5 years guaranteed for that guy? No. I think what's going to end up happening is next year is going to turn to a bit of a bidding war. One team is going to end up giving a deal. You know, it's going to be more years, but essentially the first 3 years are going to be mostly guaranteed for, let's call it, $45 to $50 million, which is going to be an unbelievable bounty for him. And again, all predicated, he stays healthy, all the different things. But
so you,
I still don't feel comfortable paying a running back that much because you can just have bad games.
So I'm going to play devil's advocate here. You said that he might play, you know, to protect himself and not want to get hurt because he does want to sign another big contract. On the flip side, you could say, is he not going to play hard because he wants to prove 100%. To potential suitors, he's like, look, I still have it. I can give you another 2 or 3 years of really good football. So, like, which side of the coin is he going to go with, you know? Yeah, is it going to be somewhere in the middle?
I think
he's like, I'm going to play hard, but, you know, maybe not kill myself for those extra 1 or 2 yards. Just get what needs to be done, and then not push himself too hard.
And, like, you know, this is more gut feeling and seeing this happen a few other times, like, around the league. Like, no one in recent time has been this Le'Veon Bell kind of dynamic player where we can talk about this, but... To me, it seems like you feast on your moments and then you pull back on others kind of like season, which is like he'll have some games that will just be unreal.
Yeah.
And then some games that will be a very pedestrian. Like I did 20 carries for 100 yards and I caught a couple passes and I just did. And like, you know, it's crazy how good Le'Veon Bell is that we say that's a pedestrian game. But, you know, this I don't think that we're going to see many of these like 200 rushing yard, 100 receiving yard. Like, you know, I'm going balls to the wall like every second I can to go, you know, put up as many stats as I can in this game. I don't think that's going to be how he's going to approach a lot of these games this season. I think he's going to be very workmanlike of saying, I'll do what's asked for me and not anything more. And I think he'll kind of implicitly rely on the fact that there's some team out there who will want him enough to say, yeah, we know you're still as good as you were last season. We know you were just kind of taking it easy.
So here's a question for you. Because we know he has a very unique style, very patient for holes to open up.
It is beautiful to watch.
It is, really, you're like, holy
you
shit.
You watch the line just move in the C's part, and he just picks the spot every time.
So where would be, given that that's his running style, like where would you see, this is like total random question there, where would you see a good potential fit based on his running style?
Yeah, so I guess, let me say in two regards. So I pulled up Vegas because I wanted to see what they thought of for next year. Where he would be. But beyond that, the place I would genuinely love to see him play would be the Colts. The Colts have done such a good job in recent time of pulling in a lot of very good linemen to open up a lot of holes. I think their running game is going to be very good this year. And again, this is all predicated on...
But the passing game was garbage last year, wasn't it?
So agreed, but the passing game also had zero reps of Andrew Luck.
Oh, they got Quentin Nelson this year, right?
Yes.
So that instantly improves the line there, yeah.
So now, if this is all predicated on, does Andrew Luck come back and look like Andrew Luck?
Mm.
But if he does, that's such a fun combo to imagine. Andrew Luck with T.Y. Hilton with Le'Veon Bell. Like, that's like your instant, like, you know, you want to just watch that team every Sunday.
Because
you know they're just going to be raining points.
Yeah. So you think Colts would be,
I think he needs to play on a team that has some kind of a vertical style offense because it's what the Steelers did very well. Is they spread out the field very well. They have, last year it was the guy who they just traded, Martavis Bryant,
yeah.
Who would, you know, streak the field. Yeah, you'd have Antonio running the crossing route. So you'd have so much...
And Juju.
Exactly. And you have so much motion across the middle where your linebackers are running. You're doing all these things where now a little dump off to Le'Veon right in the middle, he instantly has 5 yards on all sides where he can start moving.
Yeah.
And that's what he needs is open space because he's so good at dodging guys. But he's not the kind of guy who's going to catch a pass with a linebacker on his back, shake him off, and
just keep
running. Like... That's not how you use him.
Space.
Yeah, exactly. So you want a team that's going to use him dynamically.
Yep.
The Saints would be also a ton of fun. But
Jesus.
No, like if you're talking like purely like how like which team I'd love to play Madden with, that would be great.
Well, that's assuming they don't have Ingram there.
Oh, so, like, I mean, it's assuming that they're also like saying that they're going to pay another guy while Kamara's there.
I'm actually going to see them and going to see the Giants and the Saints on September 30th in Meadowlands.
So over under 13 touchdowns between the QBs this time. might be an under.
I kind of need a few more beers before I answer that question. Now, really looking forward to that. It's going to be a good one.
The Vegas odds right now, though, have Jets Le'Veon as the favorite.
The Jets? Okay.
3-1. Next is the Lions and Colts at 5-1.
All right, so the Colts are there.
I mean, it makes sense because the Colts just need a running back, so it makes sense there. And then they have the Browns, the Texans at 7 and 8-1.
Jeez, I tell you, if you was at the Texans, that, again, that'd be...
That's another one I told you.
That's a crazy offense.
With Fuller and Hopkins. Oh, my God.
Jesus, that's a very good... That'd be a nice little one to watch. We'll finish up on one more contract. We got Brandon Cooks. This was a recent one. 5 years, $80 million extension yesterday with the Rams. Base salary, $8.5 million. He gets $20 million guaranteed upon signing. So it appears to be the full breakdown hasn't been revealed yet. But it looks like it's probably going to be a backloaded contract because they want production now.
Yep.
They're going to spend all this money on him. So what did you... Like, I think we... Before he even left the Pats, we could foresee that something like this was going to happen. Because the likes of Robinson and Watkins signed all these monster deals for not elite receivers. And we're like, the Pats aren't going to pay this guy to extend the contract. So, A, he was never going to stay with the Pats. And B, wherever he was going to go, we're more than likely going to extend them. So,
yeah.
Leaves the Rams kind of strapped for cash. They're like $2.2 million under at the moment, so.
So I agree, but here, sorry.
And they have the Donald thing to figure out next
year. Exactly, which is the big question mark looming here. There's a really interesting thing that happened with this, though. So it's $8.5 million for his fifth year option right now. Then the extension kicks in after next season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's $20 million guaranteed off of an $80 million. So unless that first year is $20 million, obviously they have something guaranteed for 2 years of that. Again, to your point, we need to see the exact numbers to know if that's a quarter of a year that's guaranteed in the second year, half a year. But let's assume right now that that's 2 years that have some guarantees.
I've been refreshing SpotTrack all day. I'm like, come on, give me the...
waiting for this.
Or just wait for Adam Schefter or Rappaport. Normally they're on it before anybody.
I know, but
so,
like, what's the fun in that, right?
You want to find it yourself. Researcher in me sometimes likes to find out on my own.
So as a result, though, so the interesting part here, so you're the Rams. Who did you lose at running back and a wide receiver? Like, who's the big name you lost? You had mentioned his name already for the deals. He went to the Chiefs.
Oh, well, they were never going to pay Watkins what he got with the Chiefs.
So I agree, but let's analyze that for a second. So Watkins got a 3-year, $48 million deal from the Chiefs.
How much of that was all guaranteed, though?
I believe it was around 30.
I was going to say, so it was like around 40 rings a bell, yeah.
So if you're looking at Cooks now, you basically have a 3-year deal right now. You have his fifth-year rookie deal.
Yep.
And then you have 2 years of that guarantee. They go into, let's call it $30 million right now for those 2 years. Like, I know it's going to be backloaded, so we don't know the exact numbers, but let's give it a little bit under what the average value is.
Can I just stop you there real quick? It's just crazy that he's on his third team as a fourth rounder. His rookie, you just don't see it that often.
You don't see it that often, and like, you wonder if it's an attitude thing, but the reality is, like, nothing hinted that the Pats was an attitude thing. It was just they didn't want to be paying him.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to hold that Pats part way, against him.
Yeah, like he seems to be an alright guy.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything bad about him. Like, all he did was, like, you know, the cool, like, he used to do, like, the arrow. Like,
he calls himself the Archer. Like, that's his Instagram handle or whatever.
Which is cool. Yeah, like, I always enjoyed that one. But as a result, though, like, I'm not going to look at a third team as an issue here. I think let's see what happens on this Rams team with a ton of personality.
Mm.
And then I think we'll have a very good idea. Because I think if we have this team and he doesn't stand out as, like, a problem, then I think I'm pretty okay saying there's nothing wrong there because. On the flip side, if you stand out above Talib, Ndamukong Suh, all these other guys as the problem, then there's really something wrong. I don't think he's that. But back to the other point, like, you're having Brandon Cooks now for 3 years, basically 38, instead of Watkins for 3 years, 48.
Yeah, it's good business.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're the Rams, like, that was worth it every time.
Absolutely.
And I like the fact that, like, I'm amazed that Cooks agreed to a deal with such a low guarantee. But for the Rams, that's a phenomenal deal because you get this guy and, like, you get him to – you have him keep playing to see if he's going to be good enough for that deal each time. You don't have to worry about that complacency factor. He very much has to keep playing for that contract.
Yeah. I like it. Him and Woods and then Cooper Kupp in the slot. And obviously, we know what Gurley can do. Good old line. Like, Goff is starting to come into his own.
I've got
them going to the Final Four in the NFC, which is – that's not a crazy fucking prediction.
We had them going to, like – we thought they were going to go to the Divisional last year. And then he lost to the Falcons.
I think it's – for me, it might be Vikings-Rams in the NFC Championship game.
That would be cool.
I just think that they're both built to win and they both have really good – defenses now. So
if I had to make a pick like right now,
yeah,
I'd say it's like Saints-Rams.
Saints-Rams. Okay.
I think I agree with you. I think the Rams, again, this is the classic, like once something happens this season when they don't click, we're all like, we should have seen this coming. These characters couldn't all get along and all these different things. But on paper, they are one of the most talented teams in the league.
I like how we're not giving either of our teams a sniff. We're less slant, more slantier here, you know? We call a spade.
Exactly. Like. This is the whole idea, though. It's like we are being realistic with our own team, which is like we would love to improve and let's see how things go. But like we have individual people we're looking at this season rather than our team.
Maybe they can go on a wild card run or something. Who knows?
I know. Who knows?
So we have our next installment of Barry's Rant. Give us some more. Yeah. People love these rants, by the way.
We haven't done one in a while, is the big thing that I'm realizing.
One of our number one listeners, Paul Grogan, he's like, Barry needs to fucking get drunk and rant more often. So,
here we go.
I didn't even know. I don't know what Jameson of whiskey on the brain. I don't even know what James has done this time to warrant another rant, but let's hear it.
Okay, so
Jesus, he's got a spreadsheet and everything.
So I was pulling a lot of stuff earlier because I want to make a larger argument. But let's start with establishing here. So we talked about the groping incident with the Uber driver.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard about this. This happened 3 weeks ago now. So James got the suspension for the first three games of the season.
She did say she had crabs or something, and that's why he was groping, though, wasn't it? That's the room right here.
He always goes, he's heard crabs, it was near the leg.
Gimme.
But what happened though is like, and this is what annoyed me, is that I thought it was gonna be one of those classic, like, they did the research, they realized he did it, there's a suspension.
Yeah.
And to reorient the listeners to this is basically Jameis, this is 2 years ago now, is in an Uber with a
woman. Florida?
In Arizona.
What the fuck was he doing out there?
I cannot tell.
Ask questions.
He is in an Uber and he tells the woman to go to a fast food restaurant first because he wants to just order some food and then go home. The story basically goes that as they get to the drive-through lane, he leans forward to order. And while he's leaning forward, he is reaching his hand down and groping her, just at a fast food joint of all places. You really know where to pick it.
Oh, Jesus.
Then the story basically goes both ways, which the Uber driver is saying that Jameis was the only person in the car. And Jameis is saying, no, I had two other people with me.
Right.
One being Florida State teammate, now Eagles corner, Ronald Darby.
Yeah.
Who is the same guy who swears that Jameis never raped that girl and says, I was there.
So wait, it's gone from groping to raping now?
No. From in college.
Oh, gotcha.
The college one.
Yeah.
Again,
the other one, yeah.
This is the point here. So we're going to get this in a second. But like, so, and then the second guy, he recently came out and said, I wasn't even in Arizona.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because he was being questioned legally. He's like, I wasn't even in the state.
Okay.
So now you're seeing discrepancies like, what in the world is account. Going on with this? And now, so after all this, I thought the suspension was going to be in the same kind of questionable terms of like, we're suspending you, keep this in mind, don't do this again. Then I read what the suspension is actually for. The suspension is when that happened and the Uber driver the day of reported this to Uber. Uber emailed Jameis Winston and said, you are banned from using Uber.
Did they know it was Jameis Winston? Like,
they messaged his account. They said, Jameis, you are banned from using Uber. And it was like basically a suspension in that case. So what he has to do legally as a player in the NFL is actually notify the league office that, hey, this happened.
Yeah.
And now this is just so you know.
And of course he didn't.
Did not let them know. The suspension is literally for not reporting that happened. Not for anything to do with the woman.
But he's probably on a short leash anyway, though, right?
It's unreal, though. It's so this happened. Then he gives a speech after. He goes, I understand the decision from the NFL, and I'll do all I can. I have sworn off drinking in my life. But then he finishes it off with, I wish the NFL would have given a different decision. And I'm like, either accept the punishment or don't. Like, don't give me this halfway crap. So basically, this comes to a point where now I've been sitting here in the last 5 years... We have had five incidents.
For the listeners, he's working up a sweat here. He's had enough of them at this stage.
I'm getting there. No, believe me. I'm going to start off with the narrative for a second, then I'm going to be objective for a second with this too. Then I'm going to get really just super crazy at the end. just inconsolably angry.
The big finish.
But basically, so there have been five incidents with Jameis in the last 5 years, which is not a great trend when you think on an annual basis.
No.
So starts off with the rape in college.
Yeah.
Was it a rape? Was it not? Dragged on the entire freshman year that he was there, his redshirt freshman year. They win the national championship. Second year, crab legs. And the standing in the quad screaming fucker in the pussy to one of his classmates got suspended for that game against Clemson, which they should have lost and would have ruined his chances of making the playoff, the inaugural year of the playoff. Jameis begs Jimbo Fisher to not take him off the field, which by NCAA rules, you're supposed to. The coach can make special exceptions, but basically that happens. Jameis shows up in pads saying he's going to play, and they're like, no, you're suspended. And then you get to the NFL. He, in his second year, was talking to a local school in Tampa and was talking to kids. This is now elementary school. And said, where are my boys at? My strong boys, stand up.
You guys
are the ones to lead. Women, just remember, keep quiet, listen. And it's just, after a while, you're like, do you not understand what's happening? And now we have the Uber incident. This is five different things. And again, they range in severity. They range in how much of a big deal it is. Frankly, in all the reality, Jameis stealing crab legs is more of a joke than something that's actually a bad thing at this point.
Yeah.
But when you see enough things in the same direction, you start to question, why are we dealing with this? So now let's talk about the realistic side of this, which is, why would you deal with this? Typically, we as fans deal with this when a guy is a very good player. Because that's what makes everything okay, right? If you were a Falcons fan, you heard the Michael Vick stuff happening at the time, you're like, this is crap, but Michael Vick is really good. And you found some way to kind of remedy that and deciding along the spectrum.
Mm.
You have this happen with a lot of different things. Ray Lewis had rumors of killing a guy. But if you're a Ravens fan and it's a Super Bowl run, you're still saying, go Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
We overlook horrible things for when players are good. But we don't overlook horrible things when players are average. And that is exactly what Jameis has been. And I'm just saying this in the most objective way I can.
No, you're dead right. We talk about him all the time on this show, and it's like me and Jer agree. You know, from a non-Buccaneers point of view, you just look at his numbers and what has he done? He hasn't got a playoff win, right?
Oh, he hasn't made the playoffs.
There you go then.
Yeah, I'll walk through this for sure. So let's start with some more easy orientation stats. So Jameis has played for 3 years now. So Jameis in those 3 years has accumulated 69 touchdowns, 44 interceptions, and 11,636 yards. So let me put those all into context. So the 44 interceptions is the second most in the NFL since he's been drafted.
Wow.
Only Blake Bortles has more with 47.
Jesus.
So three more. Phillip Rivers is tied for the exact same amount, and Eli had 43. Everyone else is significantly lower on that spectrum. If DeShone Kizer had two more years of throwing ints, I'm sure he'd break that. But the 1 year of 22 ints will have to stand. In his time, he has thrown 69 touchdowns. That is one more than Andy Dalton in the last 3 years.
Wow.
But 27 less than Tom Brady, 20 less than Russell Wilson, and 11 less than Eli Manning, sitting squarely at 15th in the NFL in that range.
So he's literally the definition of average.
Exactly. And then you look at his yards. His yards have actually been good, and the reality is because typically we're sucking so much in the game that we just keep passing. And
Mike Evans probably has bailed him out of a few situations.
Helps just a little bit. And as a result, his average across the 3 years would have ranked 10th in the NFL this year, just a little bit more than Jared Goff. His average of 3,879 yards. But now you start to ask the general question, all right, these are stats. They're all great. What does this mean?
Yeah.
I'll tell you one part. In 3 years, he has a winning record of 18-27. That is a 400. In baseball, that'd be phenomenal. But in football, that's not doing it for most QBs.
Not good enough.
But now you start to say, all right, it can happen for a lot of reasons. You can have, a really good guy on a really crap team. Well, let's analyze it from that perspective. What is it about this Bucs situation that really is making it hard? So our friends at Pro Football Focus give us a great guide to look at this. So I looked at every position for offense and every position for defense to see how the Bucs ranked last year to see, do we even have good players? Because if we don't, then obviously Jameis isn't supposed to win the game by himself.
Sure, yeah.
So I won't read Jameis's rank right now because it will be interesting for after. But let me just read the other parts. So running back, I will fully admit there was a hole last year. Doug Martin started. Charles Sims jumped in. I think Sims, when the season is over this year, most likely Ronald Jones in this case, will finish as a good running back. But I will admit that was not something we gave him a phenomenal amount of help in. Wideouts, he had three of the top 27 last year. He had number 14, Mike Evans, number 16, DeSean Jackson, and number 27, Chris Godwin.
Oh, Chris Godwin. Finished ahead of Adam Humphries.
Humphries, was just beneath that. So okay. I'm saying, like, but again, for receiving talent,
really
tight end. He had the sixth best tight end in the league last
year.
In Brait.
And he's got OJ now.
And
as
it's
well.
Not even counting OJ Howard, who, by all account, is a first round tight end who should be good. He had the seventh best right tackle, Damar Dotson. He had a horrible left tackle, so I will give him a huge out there for sure. We are not doing him any like any favors with Donovan Smith right now. Our guard rated 29th, which is the actually fun fact, the exact same as Steven Wisniewski on the Eagles, who is a Super Bowl champion and we think of as a very good guard. So rated similarly there. I would say, again, not giving a ton of help there. Center is a huge position, though, where we had Ali Marpet playing center from guard, which is an unbelievable transition, was the seventh best center in the league last year. And now we just signed the eighth best center this year, Ryan Jensen. So we get to move Marpet back to keep helping out with that thin guard spot. Corner and safety, we know we suck. We have always sucked. We drafted this year specifically to do that. No guys in the top 30. But linebackers and D tackles, we have consistently guys in the top 30. We have Levante David, Quan Alexander, Gerald McCoy, and follower of the podcast, Mitch Unrain.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not even counting the four guys who were in the top 30 who we just paid to be on our team in JPP, Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen. Like, we're not counting any of those guys.
So he has no excuses. That's the message that
the
you're
point
conveying
is,
here.
You're looking
is...
at a team that has three top 30 wideout options, two really good tight ends, a line that, again, while not every position is perfect, has three above average starters on it, which is more than most teams have.
Mm.
A running back coming this year who should be good by all accounts. And if not, I think we'll be just fine there. And a defense that really literally drafted the entire time for its two biggest weaknesses, which is corner and safety. This is a team that by all accounts should make the playoffs by in the sense of like pure talent and I think the year that this is in the trajectory. But we are not. And I'm going to say right now, we will be lucky to win six games this year.
Jesus.
And it all comes down to the fact that we have the number 16 rated QB on our team. Just
Fitzy,
above.
Fitzy re-signed, yeah? Is Fitzy still
Fitzy's
there?
Fitzy is our shining light. He'll Fitzy be playing the first three games.
Oh, that's right, yeah. But what if he wins the first three games?
I think
you keep him in there?
If you're the Bucs... No, here's... So let's get to the issue in this in a second, which is like there's no one to tell him no in this organization, which is the bigger issue. So when I say 16 for Jameis, then I'll get to this point in a second. Jameis rated just above Andy Dalton, which again...
And Andy Dalton's like... On the barometer of average.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, I'm not trying to say in any regard that why is Jameis in the NFL? But what I'm trying to say is, with all of the crap and baggage that he drags along with him and his frank refusal to learn to take care of the ball year after year after year, the only reason that his interception total wasn't higher this year is because he was injured for three games. To a point where you beg the question of why are we putting up with all the other stuff? And then the answer to that is what you were asking here is, the coach and the GM. You're a GM in Jason Light who staked his entire career on, I will take Jameis Winston over two other options. So one of them we all know, which is Marcus Mariota. And there's a debate that can be had there. I'm fine either way of this. Frankly, I think they're both good but not great QBs. I like Mariota a lot for a lot of other reasons, but I don't think that he's a top 10 QB. But the other offer we had at the time of the number one pick, and there are reasons we can debate of why you don't do this, is we could have flipped number one for Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
Was literally the offer that the Chargers had sent to
Jesus.
Us. Jesus. So it's an, like, and I get the idea you don't want to flip the number one pick for a guy who you can think can be this 10 plus year starter for a guy who you're saying doesn't even have 5 years left at the time. And I get every reason there. But when I look at what happens, and you know, hindsight is 20/20 with all these things, but like at the end of the day, like you are Jason Light, and all you've been doing is trying to cover your ass ever since, and trying to continually enable this guy, hoping that one day he just wakes up and has the sense to say, well, you know what I should do today? Throw a pick while I'm gonna be having a sack. Let me just hold on to the ball for once. The amount of times that we saw this, we lost to the Packers with Brett Hundley as a starter. Because Jameis was getting sacked and said, while he's falling, says, you know what I can do? Throw it 30 yards down the field. Got stripped right away, returned for a touchdown.
Poor decision making.
And it's just consistently been that. And it's not just poor decision making on the field. You could live with that. You say we can learn with that. if he's a league average QB like Andy Dalton, you say you stick with that because you can have years when it works. But when you have all this, you have the baggage, you have the refusal to learn, you have the consistent amount of just shit that happens year after year after year. You ask the simple fucking question of why are we doing this? And the frank answer is because we have a coward GM who's trying to defend his job by saying this guy is still the right decision. Picked up his fifth year option because who knows what will happen. Our coach, who knows his life is on the line if Jameis doesn't perform, so anything Jameis does is fine. And the reality is, when we won two games with Fitzy last year, which is, by the way, one less than Jameis. Fitzy in three games won two. Jameis in 13 games won three. And when you're asking the reality here of what matters, you know, you say, oh, Jameis is this leader. Jameis is this guy who leads men. He brings us to a different level. Mm. When Fitzpatrick won those games, Dirk Cutter, other players are saying it's great to have that veteran leadership. If you're a year three starter and that's not what they're saying about you, you can't call yourself a leader. You can't call yourself in that role. If your backup QB is more of a leader than you are not the leader of your team. So if we're eliminating all these ideas to say, oh, he's not this phenomenal quarterback. He's not this leader that we thought he was. He's not potentially a good guy after all of these things happening time and time again. Michelle Beadle on ESPN did a beautiful like monologue about this, about how, frankly, he may just not be a good dude. And we overlook that in sports more than we should. But my point overall is we overlook that for good, very good to great players. We should never let ourselves overlook that for league average players. And that's exactly what Jameis Winston is. And it's exactly why when this year, with all of our talent, when we win five or six games, which we're bound to, why at some point someone has to take a fall, whether it's GM leaving, our coach leaving, or someone just saying, hey, maybe Jameis isn't the answer.
And move on, yeah.
Exactly.
And the draft again. Because
I know we're just going to, and I know I'm going to say all this, we're going to win six games and Jameis is going to get a four-year extension. Because these guys have their jobs on the line. And it's a corrupt sport that is run by people who have the wrong incentives in place.
Yeah.
And it's just, as a fan for, you know.
Oh, infuriating.
20 plus years.
Yeah, you've grown up with them, yeah.
What am I doing?
Not good.
And it's like the one time in my life where I struggle to be a fan of my team because I look at my QB and I say, I don't like you as a person, and you give me no other reasons on the field to say, hey, I'll overlook that.
Yeah.
And it just makes it hard in the end.
Absolutely, yeah. He's calming down now. He's enjoying his beer now for the rest of the episode. We'll report back to you halfway through the season and see how things go for Jameis.
So the hard part here is, so we start off the season with Fitzy on just a killer amount of, like, killer schedule. So we go Saints, and then it's Saints, Eagles, Steelers is our first three games. Which I think we play well with Fitzy, but we're going to be 0-3 to start off.
So you're already in a hole, and then you got Jameis.
I was talking through this. There's literally, I found one other Bucks fan in my entire office, which is, I didn't even know there's a single one in New England besides me. So it's kind of an amazing thing. And we were talking about the schedule, and we were like, maybe we get four wins. So five or six could be a good year.
True.
But again, that's horrible to say with a guy who's coming into that final year of that rookie deal before the fifth year option to say, is this a guy we really want to commit the future to?
I hope for your sanity they move on.
No, I believe me too. But at the end of the day, like, I want a rational decision to be made at some point here.
Okay. I think we're pretty much finished the beer. Smoke and Dagger, Jack's Abbey here in Framingham, Massachusetts. What are you going to give this one? This is like, because it's a black lager, it kind of feels like, to me, like a Guinness that's been just sitting out all day.
I was going to say,
it
feels like the Guinness. I think I'll give it partially the benefit of the doubt, and I'll give it like more like, I was thinking on the 7-ish, but like, I'll give it like a 7.5. It's like, I'll fully admit, like, the Guinness type beer is not my, like, ideal. Like, I'm much more of the IPA hop that we've been doing, but
this is literally all I had in the fridge.
No, dude, you're all good.
It's probably been...
No, you're all good.
It probably sat out in all sorts of conditions.
That's what I'm saying. I'm giving like the extra half point up just to like, in like a, you know, benefit of the doubt for that.
I'm only going to give it a 6.5. Just because I'm comparing it to Guinness.
No.
And it's just like...
That's
obviously
totally,
it's
that's
not
totally
Guinness.
Fair.
Right, I think we'll leave it at that for this week. We're going to have a few guests coming up over the next few weeks. So... you may not hear a combination of all three of us for a couple of weeks because, you know, we're just going to have new people in and out chatting about different types of topics. So make sure you tune in for that. Yeah, Barry, thanks very much for coming on.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks
for letting me yell.
The wife appreciates that you come onto the podcast and do it and set it in order.
It's the equivalent of me going to a yoga class. I just come back, my zen is in the right place, I'm all relaxed, I go to bed like a baby. It's great.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks very much for tuning in to episode 35 of Paddy Pigskin. We're going to be on a more regular schedule now. We've got training camps coming up. Mentioned before, we're going to go to a few. Going to get some good content there. Yeah, tune in next time where, as always, we will have less slant and more slanching. Take care. Chilly weather bring four-figure jacket prices. Her body nice. FaceTime. Give you that iPhone 4. FaceTime. Shorty in the streets. Still handle the home. Enough class for wine. Still handle Patron. When the mother hoes call, I hand her the phone. And she hand them the tone. You a sub girl, ain't gotta ask it. I did them all now, how about the caskets? They should arrest you, or whoever dressed you. Ain't gon' stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, Yeah, I know that's what they all says. She got a donkey with a warm ball des. Keep it clean cut like ball heads. Been playing with that green long as ball pass. So you got a ball harder than the ball players. All she wanna know is their maleness. Can't fault her, the last nigga spoiled her. But he ain't beat it up, I assault her. Shoulda seen her come to me when I called her. Slow strut like she walking to the altar. Handbag on her arm costs four bills. And she ain't got a bag, borrow or steal. Often imitated, never duplicated. They say she a dime, I say she underrated. I just met her, so the next solution. Dead my old chick, execution. You a sub girl, ain't gotta ask it. I dead them all now, how about the caskets? They should arrest you, or whoever dress you. Ain't gon' stress you, but I'ma let you know, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them, you be killing them, girl. You be killing them. Oh, you be killing them, killing them.
Had to let you know.
You be killing them, killing them. You be killing them, girl. You be killing them.
All the ladies,
all the ladies. You be killing them, killing them.
Like to congratulate you. Congratulations.
You be killing them, girl. You be killing them, killing them.
And you just came from the gym clothes. In a fitted cap and some Timbos. In a pair of flats, well-trimmed toes. Camera in the mirror, BBM pose. Still killing them hoes. You still killing them hoes. You still killing them hoes.